I don't know about you, but isn't it kind of an awkward moment when you have to tell someone, tap them on the shoulder and say, ma'am or sir, you've been seeking the wrong goal? How does that go when we try that? Not so good. 4 weeks ago, the Luckies entered into like a whole new time. It's like the Twilight Zone. We call it soccer season. If you drive up and down Flomath Boulevard, you'll understand what our life is right now. But what's always fun about soccer season is that first weekend in which little boys and little girls are learning soccer and learning all sorts of skills that are necessary. Things like running and kicking at the same time and having teammates and listening to a coach and really just enjoying the moment out in the sun. It's very simple things. And when you watch that very first weekend, one of the greatest joys of mine is to watch a little girl or a little boy score their first goal. Have you ever seen that moment? It's awesome. I saw it last month. There was a little girl, and man, she scored her very first goal. She broke away from the pack. That's the way that beginning stage works. She broke away from the huddle and just took a straight path to the goal. Nothing was going to stop her. Her arms and legs moved fast. It was awesome. Nothing physically could get in her way. Her eyes were fixed on the goal. She didn't even pay attention to the fans or her parents on the sideline. And sure enough, she scored. In fact, it was so good, she scored a goal herself with her body. Just went right into the goal. Wouldn't it be awesome if you got 2 points for that? That'd be cool. Now, the problem in this moment is she scored on the wrong goal. Now, watching that, nobody on the sidelines wants to stand up and say, "You messed up." No one wants to do that. She's excited. She's just scored her first goal. Now, nobody knows exactly what to say. That's what's happening here in this text when Nathan comes to see David. It's awkward. Nathan's tapping David on the shoulder and saying, "Your goal of Bathsheba, that's not the right goal." And we see the destruction of David's goal here in the text. I mean, this is a really long sermon. It could be, not today, it's not going to be long, but this could be a long sermon about pain and suffering here in this text. In verse 19, do you see what it says here? It's as if God allowed the pain and suffering here of the son. The son dies. And as I study this text, I think what's really is going on is that in the very next verse, David figures out a better goal in life than Bathsheba. Do you see what he says there in verse 20? He cleans his hands. He puts lotion on his hands, changes his clothes, he goes to the house of the Lord, and he worships. His goal has changed in life. He begins to worship. I'm certainly not an expert when it comes to why pain and suffering happens. As a pastor, I get to see lots of examples of that in the lives of the saints here at Peace, and even beyond that. What I do know is that pain and suffering comes in all shapes and sizes. For some people, it comes in a wave. And with some people, it comes in a small dose. Pain and suffering also, there's different tolerance levels amongst people. For some people, it's a little thing that sets them off. For others, and we shouldn't compare. Pain and suffering can also come in moments where it just seems unjust and right for someone to get it. Pain and suffering can be long-lasting. I once read an article about a mother that lost a son in a plane accident, and when she talked about it, it was as if the pain and suffering was like the day that it had happened after 7 years. Now, although I don't understand everything about pain and suffering, I think this text does suggest this, that for David, the pain and suffering that came into his life turned out to be a positive in that it shifted him from a not-so-good goal, seeking Bathsheba, to a goal of worshiping the Lord. Now, you and I, We go through suffering and pain, every single one of us. Wouldn't it be a good goal if the only thing that came out of that moment of pain and suffering is that we shifted our attention from maybe a goal that wasn't so healthy to a goal that really is, which is worshiping the Lord? Worship is life-fulfilling and healthy and good for us. How is that? How is worship a good thing for us? I mean, isn't it just attending church at from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning, like what we're doing here this morning? Professional athletes know the exact moment in which it is the most important part of their training. Professional athletes know the moment in which their body is really progressing for their next athletic competition. Ask a professional athlete or scientist. Scientists are even proving this. Think about a marathon runner for a moment. You and I might think that the most important part of running a marathon are the practices leading up to the marathon, running a 5-mile race or a 10-mile race. That makes sense. You're kind of building your endurance up to the big race. That's not the most important moment.